Well, hey, we've got a little bit of an abbreviated message this morning. I know we joke about how long I go sometimes, but I am going to try to keep it brief here this morning. We had a packed service, but I believe sometimes the smallest packages, right, they pack the biggest punch. And so what we're going to talk about today, I believe, is vitally important. I believe there's somebody here today. I don't know a lot of faces out there today, but I know, I believe God has a word for somebody today. This is going to impact somebody in a powerful way. So I want to begin by just simply asking a question. How many of you have ever felt like you were just like in the depths of despair? And I'm not talking about like, you know, you showed up at Chick-fil-A on a Sunday and they were closed. Like, that is, I mean, I'm not going to lie, that's pretty devastating. But I'm talking about like true, you know, like deep down inside, just like despair. And that feeling of like, God, where are you? Like right now in this moment, man, I feel abandoned. I don't feel close to you. I don't feel connected to you. I feel like you've abandoned me. And I'm hurting and I'm struggling and I'm going through this circumstance, this situation in my life, and I want it to end. And I'm crying out to you and I'm asking you to fix this situation and it's not happening. Anybody else ever been there? Am I the only one? Yeah, I think in our own way, right, despair comes in a lot of different levels, doesn't it? Right, but I think in our own way, we've all been there in some way, shape, or form. And so we've been in a series now for a couple of weeks that we're calling Songs in the Key of Praise. We're looking at the Psalms, these amazing worship songs written thousands of years ago by God's people. And I think one of the things that is so amazing about the Psalms is that they are, many of them, cries of lament. Just people crying out to God saying like, God, where are you? I need you. Please help me. And I think what's so important for us to hear today, you know, I think sometimes it's easy as Christians to kind of get in this mode of like, okay, I'm a Christian, I'm following Jesus, and I need to just have this perfect faith all the time that never wavers. There's never any doubts. I'm always just perfectly in lockstep with God and with Jesus. And I think every one of us knows that's just not how it works, right? And even some of the giants of the faith really, really struggled. The psalm that we're going to look at today was written by a man named David, who the Bible says was a man after God's own heart. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure God's not saying that about me, right? David was, if there was a man who was just totally sold out and in love with God and desired truly to be obedient, it was David. And yet, David went through some really difficult things if we study his life out. Many of the Psalms were written by David, right? David was a brilliant poet and songwriter, would often sit in the king's court and play his harp and play those songs for the king because he was so good. And so this psalm that we're going to look at today, Psalm 13, I encourage you, if you have a Bible with you today, if you got your phone, your Bible app, pull that out. If you don't have a Bible, we will put the words up on the screen, but always want to encourage you to be opening up your Bible. We're going to look at 6 verses today, written by this man, David, that teach us something fundamental about what to do when God feels distant, when we feel like he has abandoned us. And whether you are feeling that way right now, whether you felt like that in the past, or whether it's coming at some point, I believe these words of this psalm will encourage your heart today. And so I want to just begin by reading the entire thing, starting in verse 1, the words of David. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death and my enemy will say I have overcome him and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. So I want to break this down here now into really 3 sections, because I believe there's a progression that's happening here in the mind and the heart of David that's so important for us to see today. right? He goes from what I'm going to call the pit of pain to a posture of praise. He begins by saying this, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me?" Now, if you know anything about the life of David, now we don't know. The psalm does not say why David is writing what he's writing in this moment. But we know a couple of things about David. Number one, for many years of David's life, he was on the run from King Saul. God had appointed him to be the next king. Saul did not like that. Saul's heart began to turn cold toward David to the point where he literally was in his palace chambers one time and Saul was chucking spears at David, trying to take his life. And so what happens with David? He goes on the run. He flees. He's on the run for years, constantly afraid for his life, wondering, "God, what are you doing? What are you up to here? You said I was going to be the next king. I'm afraid I'm not even going to live to see that day." Right? He's hiding out in caves. He's doing just all kinds of stuff to try to, you know, flee from Saul and save his life. Maybe that's why he wrote these words. I don't know. Maybe it's some circumstance that was completely, truly out of his control, and he's just wondering, "God, why? How much longer is this going to last?" But we also know about David, he had one really, really, really big blunder in his life. Right? He has an affair. He has an adulterous affair. He murders a guy to try to cover up that affair. And ultimately, God essentially gives him some serious consequences for that for the rest of his life. And David is sorry. He's repentant. But boy, it's a painful time for him. He goes through the depths of despair in that moment, ultimately ends up losing his firstborn son over this. And so we don't know why David is in such despair in this moment. But what we do know is he is low. I mean, he is crying out to God. He is desperate for God to change his situation. And what I love about this is what it reminds me, and I think what it should remind all of us. Psalm 13 reminds us we're not alone in our suffering. This is David, the giant slayer, the man after God's own heart. And he is suffering right now. Whatever it is, deep, deep in that pit of despair. And so what does he do? And this is really where we need to look at today. What does he do in that moment where he is in such despair? First of all, he prays. And this seems like such a simple solution, right? Well, of course the pastor's going to tell us if we're in despair, we should pray, right? But I want you to listen to this prayer, because this doesn't sound like my prayers a lot of times. Listen to what he says. He says, "Look on me and answer, Lord my God." That feels kind of demanding, doesn't it? He says, "Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall." See, I think for most of us, when we are going through that pit of despair, oftentimes what we do is we begin to seek for control, right? And anxiety begins to well up inside of us. My first response a lot of times is not to pray. My first response is, "Oh man, I'm in this really crappy situation. What am I going to do about it?" Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't make an effort to do something about the situations that we're in. But the first response every time we find ourselves in that situation should be to drop to our knees and just begin to cry out to God. And I love this, just the authenticness, the rawness of David's prayer here. "Look on me, God. Look at me. Don't hide your face from me. Because right now I can't see you, and I want to see you. Even if you don't change my situation, God, I need to know that you are there." That's what he's saying. He says, "Give light to my eyes." That phrase was a phrase that was used often in ancient times. It just means, "Help me to see clearly, God. What is going on right now? Illuminate my eyes, illuminate my heart." And I believe what he's asking is, "God, illuminate my heart so that I can see that you are not far. Because there are some lies being spoken to me in this moment. The lies of the enemy are telling me right now that you don't care about me. The lies of the enemy are telling me right now, this is never going to end. And I need to hear you say, God, you are here, you are with me, and that this will end, as difficult as it is right now. I need to hear that. Open my eyes, give light to my eyes, return joy to my heart, God. Even in the midst of all of this junk that I'm going through, brighten my spirit and end this depression that is facing me. And I think what we need to hear and what I want you to hear and what I've been praying about this week is it's okay to say that to God. David is saying it to him. If David can say it to him, we can say it to him. It's okay to say that. But I love this too. Things begin to shift. He's saying, give light to my eyes, open my eyes, help me to see the truth. But then he also says, don't let my enemies, right? He says, my enemy will say I've overcome him and my foes will rejoice when I fall. Don't let that happen, God. Why do you think he says that? I think it's more than just simply him not wanting to be overcome by his enemies. Because what does he say? He says, my enemies, my foes will rejoice when I fall. They're going to rejoice in the fact that his God wasn't big enough. His God wasn't good enough to save him. His God wasn't good enough to change his perspective and put joy back in his heart. And so David's actually shifting here. Don't miss this. The focus is moving from himself to wanting to please the Lord. I don't want the Lord to be shamed. God, don't allow me to continue to be like this, because it's going to give ammunition to all those people out there who are like, yeah, God's not real. He's not going to help you. Right? And I think for all of us, when we're in the depths of despair, I know it is for me. This is the truth. Where's my focus most of the time? Right here. And the more I focus on myself, the more miserable I become. The more I begin to focus outward and go, okay, God, I'm going to focus on you. I'm going to focus on the people around me. God, how can I be obedient to you? Man, it's amazing how that despair begins to dissipate a little bit. Right? So David's beginning to do that. Things are beginning to change. The tide is shifting, if you will. And so even though he feels incredibly isolated, and I think we have to see that today, right? He's isolated. He feels alone. He knows the answer. He might feel isolated. He might be down in the pit of despair. But what does he recognize? The answer is not to run from God. The answer is not to just blow God off and say, fine, forget you. I don't need you anymore in my life. Instead, the answer is to press in more. It is to worship more. It is to pray more. And as he prays, something powerful happens. A breakthrough happens here. A perspective shift. Look at verse 5. He says, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. All of a sudden, there is this shift, isn't there? Has David's situation changed? No. His circumstance has not changed. He's still dealing with whatever it is he's dealing with. But something shifts. His faith begins to overcome his feelings. And I think we all need to hear this sometimes, don't we? Right? Our feelings lie. My feelings lie to me all the time. They tell me things that are not true. David says, I'm going to stop listening to those feelings, and I'm going to put my faith in something immovable that does not change, that I know is always true, right? His faith in God begins to overtake his feelings of despair. How? What does he say? I trust in your unfailing love. He begins to remember. I remember the times when God loved me, when God cared for me, when he did come through for me, when I was standing before that 9-foot giant named Goliath, and the whole rest of the world was like, you're insane, you're crazy, this is never gonna work. And he stood before that giant and brought him down with a single stone. Yeah, I remember that. I remember that God came through for me. I remember that he has saved me over and over and over again in my life. What does he say? I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in what? In your salvation. In God's salvation. That's what he rejoices in. That phrase, unfailing love, in Hebrew, it's this word hesed. It means enduring loyalty. That's what he's referring to when he says unfailing love. There is an enduring loyalty that God shows to those whom he loves. And it never fails. Yes, does God have to discipline us sometimes when we're not doing what we need to do? Absolutely. Does God allow us sometimes, I believe, to go through some really difficult circumstances so that on the other side of it, we come out actually better, more refined? Absolutely. But his love is unfailing. His hesed is permanent. That enduring loyalty, it will never, ever go away. He has made a covenant with us, a promise to us. And ultimately, he will make do on that promise. And David is remembering that. So there's a track here. I want us to see this, right? First of all, he prays, right? What did that prayer lead to? That prayer led to trust, right? That trust led to praise, and that praise led to peace. Do you see the track? Right? He prays, even when he's not feeling like praying, even when he's not sure God's even listening, he continues to pray. And as he prays, God reminds, and he begins to trust again in that unfailing love. And as he begins to trust what wells up out of him, listen to what it says. I will sing the Lord's praise for what he has been good to me. Prayer led to trust, which led to praise, and ultimately, and again, even though David's situation and circumstance didn't change, peace. A peace in knowing that if I've got my God, that even when all else is failing around me, I have the only thing that I need. His praise ushers in this presence and peace of God. I love the words of another of David's psalms. I want to read these to you from Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock, and he gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. I want us to notice something here. First of all, he says, I waited patiently for the Lord. I waited patiently, and boy, is patience not incredibly difficult when we're just deep in that pit. He calls it the slimy pit. Think of the imagery of that for a second. Imagine being in this mud hole, just caked with it, man. And you're clawing and scratching and trying to get out of that thing, and you just can't. It's too slippery, it's too steep, it's dark, you can't see anything, and you are just like, I'm gonna die down here. I'm dead if I don't get out of this place. I'm gonna starve to death, and it's gonna be all over. But what does God do? It says, he lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire, and what did he do? He set me on a rock. He set me on a firm foundation. And then what did he do? He put a new song in his mouth. A hymn of what? Of praise. A hymn of praise. That praise, man, changes everything. Truth is, guys, there's always going to be another storm that makes more mud. There is. There's always going to be another pit. But what does God do for us in the midst of that? I believe he does the same thing he does for David here. While all the world around us might be falling apart, while everything might just feel like it's just never going to be the same again, he pulls us up out of that pit, and what does he do? He puts us on the rock, this immovable foundation. And even though everything else around might be crumbling, it may be earthquake everywhere else, we can stand firm because that is who our God is. He He is a rock, immovable, unchanging. His chesed for us, his unfailing love, never changes. And so here's the question I have for us today. As we read that psalm, as we see the depth of David's despair, what can we learn from this? How can this motivate us as we move beyond this one-hour Sunday morning worship service? I believe we've all been there. We have all been where David was, haven't we? Like, we have all had some pretty, really low, how long seasons. We've been in the pit, like deep down in the pit. There's a show, it's one of my favorite shows of all time. It's called Parks and Recreation. I don't know if you've ever seen this show. But the show begins with this giant hole, this pit they end up calling it, that needs to be filled in. And the reason it needs to be filled in is because one of the characters in the show, his name's Andy Dwyer, falls into the pit and he breaks both of his legs. And then there's more people who end up falling into this pit as they continue to not fill the pit. Andy Dwyer happens to have a band called Mouse Rat. Great name. That's a great band name right there. And Mouse Rat writes a song called The Pit. And it goes like this. Oh, the pit. I was in it, the pit. You were in it, the pit. We all were in it, the pit. You like my 1990s grunge rock voice right there? I'm channeling my inner Pearl Jam from 1994. That's it. That's pretty much the entire lyric to the song. And yet there is something so profound about those ridiculous lyrics, right? I have been in the pit. You have been in the pit. We have all been in the pit. We have. We have all been in that moment where we're going, God, how long? God, my relationship with this person, my girlfriend, my spouse, my parent, my kid, it's just been such a wreck for so long. And I just want it to change, God. God, I've been dealing with this addiction for so long. I just want it to end. God, I've had this health crisis, this disease, this thing that has been plaguing me, this chronic illness. God, I need it to go away. I'm begging you. How much longer? God, I'm so desperate. This job, I'm just miserable and it's killing me and I'm overworked and I just feel so broken. How much longer? God, how much longer? Right? We've been there, haven't we? Every single one of us. And this is the hard truth that I hate saying. But the truth is sometimes we don't know how long that season's going to be. We don't know when it's going to end. It might be a lot longer than we want. And so my question is, what do we do while we wait in the midst of that how long season? I believe David shows us the answer here. When we are stuck in the pit of despair, the answer is prayer and praise. And that seems like such a simple thing. Like, oh, that's not going to change anything. Oh, I believe it absolutely will. It absolutely will. It might not change your situation or your circumstance right away, but it's going to change something right here. And honestly, that's really what we want, isn't it? I mean, yeah, I want my situation to change. But what I really want is to not feel like I am in the pit of despair every day of my life. That's what I want to feel. And the answer to that is prayer and praise. And so I want to give you a few tips. Because this is, like, for some of us, I think it's like, okay, where do I even begin? What does that look like? Right? Number one, don't stop when you don't get the answer that you're looking for. Keep praying. Keep praising. Did you know that an ice cube, right, freezes at what point? 32 degrees. I think most of us, right, if we've gone to school, we know that. Right? If you want to melt an ice cube, you've got to get it to go above 32 degrees. At 31.5 degrees, the ice cube is not melting. It's not melting at 31.6. It's not melting at 31.7 or 8 or 9. But at 32, something starts to happen. 32.1, 32.3, now it's starting to melt. And here's what most of us end up doing in our prayer life. We start praying, we pray for a day, we pray, maybe we might even pray for a couple weeks. We don't see any change, we don't see any answers, and so we just stop. And I so believe this. Most of the time, and I believe God, right around the corner, breakthrough is about to happen. And we quit before that breakthrough happens. We gotta keep on praying, keep on crying out to God. It's okay to keep saying, God, how long? How much longer? Keep saying it. Keep crying out to him, because I believe he is listening and he will answer in his time. But we have to trust that while we're waiting, this is number two. First one, don't stop when you get an answer. Number two, trust that while we're waiting in that how long season that God is working and that the primary work he is doing is in us, right? The primary work he's doing is in you. And that's really hard sometimes, right? Because it's like, okay, God, thanks a lot. Wasn't there a better way you could have done this? Wasn't there a better way you could have helped me to learn whatever it is that you wanted me to learn through this situation? I'm such a firm believer. I'm a knothead. I am. The best way for me to learn sometimes is to just go through some fire, to be deep in that pit and to allow God to work out the things, to refine the things in me that he needs to work out. And then finally, recognize it's when God feels the most distant that we need to worship him with the greatest intensity. That's what David is doing here. Right, that's when we will find his presence the greatest. When it's the most difficult, when you're hurting the most, that is the time when worship becomes more essential than any other time in your life. Because it's when we begin to worship and we just begin to sing. And sometimes worship looks like crying out and saying, how long? And sometimes worship looks like David's shift in perspective to saying, God, I see you. I see how you have worked in my life. I see the salvation that you have poured out in me over and over and over again. It's all worship, right? These psalms are these worship songs. And we need to sing them. We need to sing his praises. And the more difficult the circumstance, the more difficult the situation, the more we should sing, the more we should praise. I believe it will change our perspective. And so as we close, here's my question. Are you in despair today? Are you? Are you in one of those how long seasons? When we're stuck in the pit of despair, the answer is prayer and praise. I cannot implore you enough, whatever it is, to begin to pray fervently, to begin to praise God, look for the good things that he has done in your life, because he has been faithful. If you will look for that, if you will see where he has been faithful. In the end, what ultimately got David out of his pit? It was trust in God's unfailing love, was it not? Right? He was reminded of how God saved him and how he did it over and over and over again in his life. God brought salvation to David so many times. Saved him from Saul, saved him from the giant. But can I tell you something today, church? We got something David didn't have. Come on now. We got the cross of Jesus Christ. We got a salvation that even David did not have, right? David was waiting for a savior. They were waiting for the Messiah. We ain't waiting for a savior no more, church. Come on now. We ain't waiting for a savior. We've got a savior. We've got a hope and a future that David did not even know existed yet. Our salvation in him, when we put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, is secure. And so today, man, if you have that, If you know that, whatever your pit of despair is, this is the answer to it all. It's the gospel. It's always the gospel. It always comes back to the gospel. It changes and transforms everything in our life. If I got Jesus, man, I got everything I need. And I don't mean to be callous to your situation. I don't mean to downplay whatever it is that you're going through. But I have seen it over and over again in my life. When I get to that place where I am just at the end of my rope and I am screaming, how long? That is the only thing that changes my perspective. Thank you, Jesus, that even though this life is hard, number one, I know you are with me. And I know that one day you have made a promise to me that I'm going to be with you in eternity. And there will be no more sorrow and no more suffering and no more crying and no more pain. That's the promise. By his blood, he has lifted us out of the mud and put our feet on a firm foundation. Amen, church? That's the hope we have in Jesus Christ. And that's why we proclaim that till we're blue in the face here at True North Church. Because we want people to receive that. We want people to have that. And so today, man, if you need saving, so I want you to know, he's offering it. He's offering it. He's offering eternal salvation. Paul says in Romans that if we will confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. And it's really, it sounds too simple. It sounds too good to be true. That's the truth of the gospel. And wherever you are right now, whatever despair you're in, Jesus is the answer. I promise you that. And for those of us who are in the church, who are part of his church, who have come to salvation in Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you today. Remember, like David did when he was deep in that pit of despair. Remember that he is trustworthy. Remember his unfailing love. It does not fail. It will not fail. It conquers all. It covers everything. My prayer and my hope for us today is that we walk out of this place, and wherever we were, man, today is a stepping stone to getting out of that pit. And if one comes along, not really if, but when one comes along, we're ready. We're more prepared. We're going to just begin to pray, and we're going to begin to praise immediately. And watch how it changes things. We're going to sing a song here to close. I asked the band to sing this song today. It's a song that I've had on repeat for weeks and weeks and weeks now. It's a song that's been encouraging my heart, and I hope that it encourages yours. It's called This Far. And the main lyric of this song is, you didn't bring me this far to leave me where I am. Is that not good news today? Amen.